Going on, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here, joined by Billy Schmid from 97.3 The Game, the Packers Radio Network in the house. Billy, whoo, baby. Do we need to talk about that Sunday night game against the Broncos, or do we just head right into, hey, what to expect with this Ravens joint practice and preseason matchup?
Yeah, the debacle in Denver. I think we feasted on whatever Buffalo there actually was on that. And it was, man, it was something to be able to somehow witness a team. And, you know, man, it is funny. You think that there's some conversations, especially when you spend Wayne Larrivee starts the broadcast.
Right.
Saying it feels like we've been here for a month and a half.
And Larry, it's been 3 days.
It's been 3 days. And Larry goes, while walking around the hotel room, Wayne, I think I heard that once or twice today. So then you know, like, where the attitude and excitement is. Let's ride, boys. Come on. This is going to be really, really fun. Then, you know, the game started. I didn't realize two organizations would look at the game so differently.
So
now,
differently.
And because so differently. Different spots. But
yeah, of course.
But this is where communication prior to might help.
The hell was that? And it was fun listening to you and Kuhn and the guys on the radio on Monday morning. I think I tweeted you. I was crying laughing. I'm not exaggerating, because your intro, and I'm not going to do it justice. It's on YouTube. You can go find it on the 97.3 The Game YouTube channel. It was so dry and so perfect in the description of how ugly the game was. And then you just threw it to John. Like, what do you think, Kuhn? Because John obviously was there and the whole thing. It was absolutely, the pitch was absolutely perfect. And I mean, that's like radio gold. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Dude, it was something else. I mean, and after, you know, he got home at like just before four.
Right. They have the chartered flight, right? You know,
right.
We got Wes Hodkowitz every time tweeting out or not tweeting out. He puts it on his Insta story what time he gets home at Swamico. Mm-hmm. Timestamp, etc.
And everyone does feel really, really bad for us, and you should.
Yeah, I know. Oh, it's so tough. Amazing. Oh, do you get a chartered flight right home? Yeah. You don't have to worry about commercial flights. Oh gosh. Yeah. Oh no.
Is it life must be so, oh, no. So difficult. Oh my God, you had to stay up and talk.
Buckle up.
The Packers games. Get over yourself.
I know. So difficult.
But yeah, so like it was, and we had talked about it well into the night on the post game show. So at that point, there's like, we laid our cards out on the table and said, what are we doing here? I mean, if you're gonna have Zach Morton in a 60 jersey, 60. Nags,
6-0. That's
playing
where we are.
Defensive end.
That's where we are as a society.
And that's where we were at about 9:36 on Sunday night. So yeah. it was a tough slog to be able to think about, talk about, let alone how on earth then you pull good things from it in the film. I know they did, and I'm proud of those coaches because they had to work at it.
Hey, your boy watched
a lot better. Once
your boy rewatched it a couple times. Your boy rewatched it a couple times. I found some nice stuff. I mean, there's stuff there.
Yeah,
you just got to really, really be patient. That's all. And look, I'm just impressed you were able to do Packers OT, because as we were just talking about before we started recording here, I got done with the live stream and I was out. I was done. I could not do a Q&A after that. It would have been unfortunate. So,
well, so I was looking forward to it though, after I saw your pregame tweet that said, not gonna lie, might be a little buzzed up.
Billy,
let's party, dude. This is gonna be a great night.
Not gonna lie, I was a little buzzed up. And it wasn't, we had somebody on the Cheesehead TV happy hour last night who was like, you know how I said, you know, I really miss like a few beers in Nagler. Because that's what would happen during the pandemic, because I'm just closed off here all by myself, and I'd get a few beers in, and then I would do Packers Daily. I really miss that guy. Remember how I said that? I was like, yeah, I remember. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. And he's like, wow, you really took that to the extreme on Sunday night. I was like, yeah, that was not a few beers in, Nagler. That was at the bar all afternoon, Nagler. So,
well,
you know,
preseason form for everybody. Preseason form. Yep. But
the only kind of content I created after the game was gut reactions, which was literally just one line that said, if the Packers clearly do not care, why should I? Because that's what it felt like. And I understand Matt walked it back a little bit, right, yesterday in his presser, talking about, oh, I was in my feelings after the game, and they did kind of bring it, and there was energy. And that is somewhat true. But, man, getting back to your point about the two completely obvious different approaches to that preseason contest, as far as the Broncos, not only playing their starters, but actually running some of their stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Like, not obviously not going balls to the wall. They're not game planning, but clearly working on a few different kind of parts of their playbooks, both sides of the ball. Whereas the Packers, it was so vanilla, especially on defense with, okay, we're running quarters coverage. We're running two man. We're going to just make sure you hit your marks. And there was just no energy to it at all until maybe you get into the middle of the third quarter. And then you saw some of the defensive guys come to life. But, and then, I mean, on the flip side, I mean, I tweeted it. We're going to run slant flat until morale improves. I mean, how many times are they going to run that same concept in one game? It was like Mike McCarthy never left.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah, that was hard. That was just hard. It was just hard.
The part about understanding where the other team and the other group is trying to do and trying to at some point line up the work that you're going to get. I thought LaFleur's walk off at halftime was almost crazier than when he walked up to the microphone and said, "Well, that was a long night."
Yep.
Right? Like,
yep.
Ashley Washburn, I want to say. I'm
Ashley. Yes. Ashley. That's Ashley. Yep.
Yep.
Who does a good job, by the way. She's new on the scene.
New on the scene.
2 weeks in, I think she's killing it.
Moment.
It's a tough gig.
A tough moment.
Yes, it is. And I thought she handled it really well.
Really, really well. Agreed. And you know what the best part was? Next, she didn't take the microphone away. Because at some point when he's going to give you like a curt answer.
Right.
And then he's going to realize that you're not going to ask a question right away. Well, then he's going to give you some more. And then he kept going. And he's like, you know, something's going to have to change. And that, to me, was when the attitude changed into the fourth quarter of, well, then, if this is what I got, then we're going to get on this plane as soon as possible and get out of here. And then Sean Payton decides to challenging the fourth quarter of that game.
Oh, my God. Sean Payton will never not. Oh, my God.
Felony. Lock him up. That was outrageous.
Throw away the key. Put him under the jail. Horrific.
Yeah, and so I get it. I understand that you got most of your work done during the joint practice. Totally get it. There's no reason that game should have been at night if that was why and how quickly they wanted to get home, right? Like, so seriously, that was the part of, I think the Operation L was not just the only loss that they took, or the game wasn't the only one. The operation and learning how you can get better going next year to a joint practice on the road. Because what is this? The second time that they've left Lambeau, last year to Cincinnati, this time to Denver.
Right.
It's got to be quicker. It's got to be expedited. And they got to get home a little quicker because then you can get back into your routine of camp. And it does appear that rattled them at some point.
At some point. And that's the other thing. Like, how often has this team gone west with LaFleur and just looked completely discombobulated?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, like, obviously there's, you know, it's very anecdotal, but at the same time, they keep heading west, whether it's Denver, whether it's San Francisco, anywhere past the Mississippi, essentially. For whatever reason, they seem to kind of just lose their juice. There's just like a consistent lack of energy when they travel west. And I don't know what that is. I don't know what, you know, got to get that sports psychologist from The Natural in.
Yeah.
Gently racking. Like, we got to get somebody in there to talk to these boys, because, my God, it is just hard to watch this group whenever, seemingly, they head west.
Yeah, and it doesn't make much sense when the attitude in practice or coming out of practice, when LaFleur made it pretty clear to just about everybody that would listen, and everybody that was there said it now in different ways of putting it, right?
Sure,
like,
right.
Maybe Bill Huber was a little bit more more clean with his opinion of it.
Forceful of it. Yep.
Forceful, no, that's a good word of putting it. Yep. And other people thought, you know, I think Kuhn said, he's like, it was like a one score game if you're judging the practice on where I saw it. So like, it's back and forth. It's differing vantage points of what ultimately went down. But if you feel like you thoroughly got beat and then feel like you then get beat the next night, There's a good attitude adjustment that probably comes out of it. And it does sound like yesterday, I wasn't there at practice yesterday, going to be coming up for the joint against the Ravens. I'm excited, Nags, to see, because Jordan definitely sounded like the offense was fired up. The numbers were much different.
Sounds like they were on fire yesterday.
Those can be good wake-up calls for it to happen in the preseason. And I do think it can happen when 31 guys are on the sidelines.
Well, of course. I mean, that's the other component here. Like, again, but that goes back to the approach, right? And the difference of approach.
Totally.
I will say, though, I loved LaFleur at the presser yesterday talking about, you know, when he was asked about, has he made any determination about who's going to play in the preseason game? And he was like, well, we're going to let the, you know, week of practice kind of play out before we make that determination. Kind of like he learned his lesson from last week when he very early in the process said, yeah, the starters aren't going to play. Probably wishes he had kept that open after, in his words, being humbled on Friday.
Yeah.
To join practice with the Broncos.
Now, again, this might be a little tinfoil hatty for me.
I'm just saying.
There's also a part of me that wonders when we're talking about how the alignment of the two groups.
Mm, right.
Nags, what if I told you they were in perfect alignment? Because what news finally hit today of Bo Nix?
What if I told you?
Getting named the starter.
Bo Nix?
They knew that he was looking good. Yep. They knew that it was seeming trending upward. But if Sean Payton really said, hey, man, I need one more firm validation that this dude's a legit guy so I can start him. And because these
can you
Walmart
play your twos and threes so he can
dominate? He can look good for a quarter and then I can pass it off to the sixth most wealthiest people in the world that I'm going to start this kid after we did up so bad last year and we're still paying $80+ million in dead cap money. So I've gotten myself to the point where it wasn't just the Packers that decided to lay off, that they were actually doing a good thing, good deed here to somebody that maybe doesn't really deserve it, Sean Payton. But
it's so funny. It's so funny because I legit, when I saw the tweet this just before we started recording, that Bo Nix named the starter, et cetera, it took a significant amount of energy on my part not to retweet with a quote tweet. It's amazing what dominating the Packers' third string will do for you. But I didn't, because I didn't want to be that guy, you know. And look, he played well against the starters in the joint practice, etc.
Yeah,
but to your point,
the week before, but
it, I'm just, you know, you want to talk about diving into some conspiracy theory type stuff? Yeah, that I could buy that. I could totally see that conversation being.
And it sure worked. You look good,
Matt.
But again,
no doubt.
And this is what we do, right? And this is where this is the fun part about assessing these quarterbacks at this spot, because there's six of them. Well, five now, because JJ's not going to be able to play.
Right. Unfortunately.
And
what, we got three starters already named from the
three starters
class?
Already named. Right. And I don't think Drake's going to win that job in New England. However, it does appear that they want him to, even though that they're still saying
they're turning to him eventually this mm-hmm. season.
They're all going to start at some point this year. And I do think, as much of a Sam Darnold fan as I am, I do think there was a point where they were going to hand it over to JJ.
I totally agree there. And I'm sorry, can you repeat that again? What did you just
Sam
say?
Sam Darnold fan.
What?
Yes. Yes.
Incarnation are you talking about, Bo Schmidt?
Yeah. He's going to be in the NFL for a decade.
Well, I get that. He's got physical tools. There's no doubt about it. There's a reason he was drafted where he was, etc. But that makes you a fan of Sam Darnold. How? Why? What's the history there?
There's a number of things. One, one of my favorite games that I ever watched was him against Penn State in the Rose Bowl. I think it was his freshman year, right?
All right.
Then any joker that goes through New York City as a starting quarterback for the New York Jets, then gets mono at about Nags the relatively the same time a young Bill Schmidt got mono. In the
There's a bond here. There's a bond.
A big bond.
That is unshakable. Yes.
But then he had it on national television with him smiling in the picture and it says mononucleosis.
Yeah. He's pointing at the thing.
Yeah. So and crazy. I'm like, wow, he got it from her. I'm like, so, and also, amazing. I don't think he's ever had a good shot at the NFL. I think he actually has a legitimate shot in the NFL with a good offense and a coach that I think is very, very good.
I mean, he was just in San Francisco where they make any quarterback with a pulse look halfway decent.
Yeah. And I also at one point last year, half cocked, said that he was going to start in the playoffs for the 49ers. And that son of a bitch, Brock Purdy.
You didn't put any money on that, did you?
Seemingly got to be the nicest guy around, got to be so good and so good with the media, and apparently really, really good with football, and had to make me wrong on that take every single day last year. So I'm going to keep living on that hill that Sam Darnold's going to be a competent NFL player, and he's going to have a good chance at it. Best chance he's ever had this year.
Oh, zero doubt. And look, I mean, do you talk about situationally and the weapons around him? I mean, my God, man.
Hard not to.
Justin Jefferson. You got the tight end's going to take a while, but You got a couple stud wide receivers. You got Aaron freaking Jones in the backfield. Like, yeah.
But in all of that with Darnold comes back to the point I was making with Knicks and like why we do this and why maybe we shouldn't be. I was listening to a couple of guys say this and it is spot on. We shouldn't be that surprised that Bo Nix looks good.
No.
That's why he was drafted. He started over 60 games in college football. Remember, we kind of did this with Mac Jones.
Well, and
he was okay, the most yes. pro-ready right. guy. He right, was the right. most pro-ready guy, then well, comes the in thing. Okay. and looks the best right away. That's not surprising. That's why he was drafted, and that's what he was billed as doing.
No doubt.
If you pay him the second contract.
Putting it in perspective on Sunday night, though, especially comparison-wise, because if you're a Packers fan and you're sitting here going, well, we've got some young quarterbacks. We've got one young quarterback who's been in the system for a year and a half now, mm-hmm. or a year and some, and they looked incompetent, right? To which I say, well, just again, it goes back to what they were running. Because, yes, as a guy who started 60-plus games, you know the game of football on, like, a very, very decent
level.
Should be
a 400 level, yeah.
So, yeah, if you're running quarters and two-man all night, you know, or cover three, or what happened, like, the most basic, simple shit, well, yeah, I hope you look competent. I hope you look like a starter in the NFL. I mean, don't look any further than how many times did both teams call some form of boot action for their mm-hmm. young quarterbacks to get them the quote easy completion in the flat to the tight end. Both teams did this, right? Every time, almost every time the Broncos called it, wide open dude, layup throw, easy completion, accomplishes exactly what you set out to do calling that play. Almost every time the Packers called it, the Broncos were suffocating the tight end in the flat.
Yeah.
No easy outlet for the quarterback. It's just a different approach. It's just they're, you know, well, we're going to play a soft, very, very kind of neutral looking zone and or man that is not pressure based. It's not physicality based. Well, yeah, you got free releases. You got all sorts of room to work. Yeah, you get a bunch of like really easy completions.
Yeah, and it should look good. All you got to do is operate it. And
I would hope so.
The mental thing for Peyton and the Broncos was I think they wanted him to showcase it one more time in a game setting that he would do it. Like yeah. Then it comes to where the two guys in Green Bay, how they looked and where they could be going. Cause immediately then I assume you've talked about it a number of different times. Cause we had the couple of people that were staying up with us wanting to talk about that 27-2.
Right.
Obviously brought up those two quarterbacks not being suitable to be a backup if you think that you're winning a Super Bowl or trying to compete for a Super Bowl.
Right.
But Nags, it's even different. It's continuing to get more and more morphed as to how solid these players are coming in and these prospects are coming in to play in the NFL game at quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, again, Bo Nix started 60-plus games. Jaden Daniels played for two schools and has been starting games since his freshman year. Right, like he's played 40 plus games.
Yeah,
I would assume, and again, maybe I will make an ass out of myself and a lot of others here. I'd prefer to go with somebody that does have the higher ceiling that I don't know that has had that experience than running out Case Keenum again.
Yeah,
right.
Like, that's the point. You just touched on the exact point of why. I know there's been a lot of kind of hand-wringing and the calls for, oh, let's bring in another quarterback or whatever. And I do think, obviously, there are places around the NFL, franchises, who would operate that way, right?
Totally, yes. But
the Packers have an organizational philosophy, one that Brian Gutekunst himself talked about at the Combine, as far as getting back to drafting young quarterbacks and developing them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it ain't always sunshine and rainbows when you're doing that and when you're dedicated to doing that, which the Packers are. Yes, it was hard to watch on Sunday, but they would much rather continue to develop their young guys than bring in a Taylor Heineke or
totally, yeah,
or Ryan Tannehill. And okay, maybe that, yeah, you can tread water for a bit, but you're not, that's not in service of anything.
Mm-mm.
You want to develop these young players and live with the growing pains the exact same way they did so all throughout last season on the offensive side of the ball, especially where you saw tons of growing pains, mistakes, problems, whatever that those guys learn from. And oh, by the way, by the end of the season, they were pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
They had taken those kind of learning moments, developed off of them, and became pretty damn good. So, and look, it's never linear. It's not like because you did this, this is going to happen.
Right.
But that's the philosophy. And that's what they're going to stick to. And I keep coming back to this in my head. Remember the scene in Moneyball where, you know, they're trying to get the manager to play the guys they want to play. And mm-hmm. he won't do it. So finally, Brad Pitt's character just trades them all away. Trades all the frontline guys away because, you know, blah, blah, blah. And Jonah Hill's character is like, are you really going to do this? And there's a moment where Brad Pitt looks at him and says, listen, do you believe in this fucking thing or not? And that's what I feel in my bones about what Brian and Matt, essentially, most likely, the moment they came to at the beginning of last season and or over this offseason, especially at the quarterback spot. It's like, it's easy to say and give that lip service, right? It's a lot harder to stick to your guns, so to speak, after that performance we saw Sunday night from both of those quarterbacks. I just feel in my bones, and I haven't talked to anybody about this, but I feel in my bones they're having that moment. Like, do we believe in this fucking thing or not? And I think they do. Yeah, and that's why I don't think they're going to make any kind of change.
Yeah, and I'm with you. And I also think that there's another part, there's a facet of it where you prove again to yourself that, like you mentioned, that not only we believe in this thing, but that it works and that we're good at it, right?
We've seen some dividends.
Ego part of it. There's an ego part that boosts the confidence to it.
Yeah.
And there is a track record that it ends up working, right? So I think that's the layer, the different layers of it that are that support what they're doing.
And the quarterback position is such a special animal, right?
Yeah.
And it's so much more difficult just because of all the layers involved and the importance of the position itself. So I understand, again, the public facing nature of the experiment, quote unquote, that was, or Sunday night was part of. Yeah, you're going to take some slings and arrows and certainly going to take them this week. But I suspect, you know, we get into that final preseason game, I think things are going to look a little bit better, and it's going to be at home, noon kickoff, vibes are going to be much better. I just think it's going to be a whole other animal. And that's the other thing. The conversation and the narratives change so quickly. Like, coming off the Cleveland preseason game. Oh, three plays, touchdown, rest the starters, just figure out some backup stuff. We're ready for Brazil, right? And then Sunday night happens, and everyone's like, oh, my God, the sky is falling. We, you know, don't have a swing tackle. Who's the running back, second running back? And by the way, do we have a kicker? Is there a kicker in the house?
Yeah, back to that again, huh?
Hey, how about that, Billy? Looks like my guy Carlson's pulling back ahead, and it feels like now we got a couple practices. Oh, we got a practice and a game yet to go. But I gotta say here for the record, feels like my horse is about to win this race, Billy.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it feels like your horse is about to win this
race. Oh, your boy. Holy cow. What happened? What happened to your boy?
That tornado day at Rainich Field seems to have completely shaken the entire day. Like, I mean, he really hasn't been the same since that day when the wind totally blew it off the radar. But and then Alex Cato entered the conversation.
Even in the preseason game in Cleveland, like, the narrative coming off of that was like, well, his kick just looked so much better because he was nailing them down the middle.
A couple of them go down the middle.
They look good doing it.
I cannot recount one ball really that's coming off the foot of Anders Carlson that goes right down the
middle. Nope. Hey, but they go through, and that's all I care about. All I care about is a tally, right? So now we get to Sunday night. Your boy didn't even hit the net.
Yeah, that was – he hit like section 114, dude. That was crazy. Nobody else picked that up but you and I. That I don't even think it hit the net behind.
And then yesterday –
it's tough.
He goes out and shanks a bunch more.
Yeah, what was he, 1 of 4?
What the hell, Billy?
Mm-hmm. Well, and Nags, this has got into a spirited debate about it. I'm fascinated if the kicker is actually on this team now.
It's Carlson. Carlson.
Is he back into it? Or has he won the job?
Ish. Kind of both.
Okay.
He's won it while backing into it.
While backing into it, yes. And you know what?
You know what happens? You back into a playoff berth. What do? You go on a run, you win the Super Bowl. That's what I'm saying.
Hey, 100%. Philadelphia Phillies 2 years ago, the Brewers and Phillies, neither team wanted to win the last wild card spot.
Very clear.
So badly, I think they won a combined 3 games in the final week. They played a combined 14 of them, right? So nobody wanted to go to the playoffs. Yep. Fucking Phillies went to the World Series.
I'm just saying. Billy.
So maybe he has a great year. I hope he does. And God bless him. I really, really do. Because he is a great, he was great on our show. And I'd really hope that he does.
I mean, that's if we're talking about what's important here.
Yes, you know, 100% content. I haven't heard Greg Joseph say one word, so he
media
might
media begins with me. So
that could be good for Carlson if he's the kicker, and we can get on the radio show, and then I can publicly apologize for supporting and putting my yard sign outside in the campaign for Greg Joseph. Oh. I will put that mea culpa on there, incredible. But tell him I'm excited absolutely to see incredible you booting them things right on through.
So speaking of excitement, I can't begin to tell you how disappointed I am that I'm not going to be in town for tomorrow's joint practice, because it does feel like it will be a very special day.
Yes.
The Packers encouraging people to show up, bringing your bikes, because all the Ravens are going to ride bikes if there are enough bikes available. The vibes are going to be immaculate.
Okay. You brought it up. You brought it up, Nagler.
What's that?
I've said Nagler. I've hard R'd you twice today. What's Armin that? And I got into this.
Yeah, debate. You did.
He wouldn't want to have a Raven ride his bike. Would a young Aaron Nagler have wanted a Raven to ride his bike?
100% absolutely. But I will say, however, props to Armin, because he owns it, right? He's a diehard.
Damn right.
And he is like completely in his feelings for why he doesn't want a Raven touching his bike.
100%.
And you know what? I respect it.
1000% true.
I respect it. Yeah. I'm 100% behind him. Absolutely. Fly your freak flag high. Get after it. And I would, what I'm loving is this mental image I have of a young Armin, like, say, 5-6-year-old Armin.
Yes.
And some Raven goes, "Hey, little man, I'll take your bike." And Armin, like, with the voice he has now, right? Like,
yes.
"Hey, no way, man, get off my bike." Like, he just, 100, like, he sounds like he's smoking like a pack of
Camels. What do you mean, Ray Lewis? You can't have my bike. You can't ride my bike, Todd Heap. You really think you're coming in here, Mark Danny? Ride my bike? I saw you got in a car accident. I didn't ride my bike. You know way. No way. Oh, this is a Packer bike.
That's exactly what I picture happening.
God, it would just be so awesome.
So good.
It would just be so good. And I do. I am excited for all the pageantry. Now, sadly, I won't be able to see the American Family Dream Drive on both ones with the Packers and Ravens.
Right.
I won't get to see that American Family Dream Drive.
You had to. See, you're such a company man. You're such a company man. You had to throw in the sponsor name? Really? Couldn't just say Dream Drive. Had to throw in the sponsor. You are such a company man. Oh my God.
That check hasn't even cashed yet.
I'm just saying, man, no one's listening. No one from American Family Insurance listens to this podcast.
Listen, hey.
No one from the Packers listen to this podcast. Hell, no one from 97.3 The Game listens to this podcast. So I don't know what you're doing. I don't know who you think you're talking to.
300,000 listeners. There's got to be a couple that are working for American Family. And you know what? Let's see.
I don't know, 6 or 7 people that listen to this podcast. And yes, it has grown. The audience has grown from 3 to about 6 or 7 because people have been finding us on.
You better believe it.
The IR app.
And seemingly every single Apple, one of them is coming up to me up at Rainier's Field saying, "Hey, man, love what you guys are doing. Thanks. This is awesome. Awesome stuff." And guess what? It's coming back to the radio as well.
That's awesome. Yes. Yes. Hey, we're what, 2 weeks away?
I was going to say, I think we're 2 weeks away.
2 weeks away from being back on the
terrestrial.
Can you believe they let us do that? Like the whole year last year.
Every day that they put me on one of these microphones.
I swear to God, last year, I think we got like 2 or 3 weeks in, and I'm like, they're just going to let us keep doing this?
They're going to let us keep doing this, yeah.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah. Incredible. Oh yeah, I get those pinch me moments all the time, and my favorite one will be coming up on Saturday after the final joint practice, because I've had a lot of Ray Nitschke where I'm looking around like, this is unreal.
No doubt.
Walk out to the bowl after everyone's pretty much gone.
Yep.
The golden hour. Just like, they let me talk about this team. This is awesome. Awesome time.
It doesn't suck. Let's put it that way. You know what does suck though? My NCAA 2025 video game play.
No,
I'm not good. I am not good.
No.
Currently trying to get Rutgers to a championship, and it's not starting well. It's been a rough beginning to the campaign. But
well, now I thought you would have picked LSU with the girlfriend.
Well, I got the LSU playbook because I did like it that time we played. Okay. So good I used call, it, but I wanted call. Rutgers local. You know, like it's my New
York's Big Ten team.
as close as we get to one. Yeah.
Because those are the billboards. I don't know. And I don't know how many times you've driven on 294 down in Chicago, but they have all these really ugly ass billboards of Northwestern. It says Chicago is Big Ten team.
No.
So I always just rip that whenever I talk to anybody from any other city. Is that your Big Ten team?
Is that your Big Ten team? Well, because like now the Big Ten literally traverses the entire nation, essentially.
Coast to coast, pillar to post, best competition outside of the SEC.
I'm really glad you added that. That's very, very wise, Billy.
Just out of the SEC. But that is one that if we are lucky enough and you end up down there at an LSU game, you got to give me a call.
Oh, dude, yes, 1,000%. Here's the thing, though. So we're going, you and I, you'll be there, I'll be there. We're going to the Super Bowl. We're going to New Orleans. Mm-hmm. So we'll lay the groundwork for a future LSU trip.
Perfect.
That week.
Perfect.
We will talk to the people we need to talk to. We will lay the groundwork for lodging, transportation.
Oh, this is awesome. Yes.
Everything. We're going to set that up. We're going to set. This is a long game, Billy. It's a long game.
God, I can't wait. I can't wait. How's the run of the Packers schedule going though on Madden?
We're 1-1. Lost the opener.
Okay.
To the Eagles.
I heard Brazil wasn't good.
Well, it was. See, what sucks is that NFL, EA Sports. It's in the game, right? Nope.
Gotta get on it.
You start in Philadelphia. Like, what the hell, man? Mm-hmm. They have literally every other international stadium that you could potentially ever play in. They don't have Corinthians Arena.
Isn't that crazy? They have the Azteca Stadium.
They have that. That's there.
Now, my buddy and I are doing the same thing because I stole it from your idea. Our games head to head are.
Yep.
That was crazy. That we're just going down the list.
Yep.
Because they don't also have a random button on Madden where you can't randomize teams when you're playing a buddy.
They don't anymore.
They don't in this one.
I have no buddies, so I don't know.
So. So, long story short, we played in Mexico City because we thought it was the closest.
There you go. As close as you can get. I almost did that. I was like, what the hell? But I'm doing like the franchise thing. So I literally just won the home opener.
Okay.
So now we're basically flip-flopping what – remember when we did our prediction episode earlier this offseason? I had us winning in Brazil and had the Packers losing the home opener. I've flipped that on its head now. Like, we lose in Brazil, win the home opener. Unfortunately, it came with a cost because I forgot to turn off injuries. So now Romeo Doubs, Zach Tom, and Josh Myers are all out for multiple.
It's a fucking video game. I'm sorry. And my buddy and I are in the same.
Not good.
It's a video game.
I got
there should not be injuries on the video game.
But so realistic. If it's in the game, it's in the game. Unless
it's just like this stupid wearing
huge ass stadium that we're not going to bother to render. What?
It's so bad. It's so bad,
dude. I'm so mad about that. I can't even begin to tell you how much I was looking forward all off season. I was so looking forward to that kind of like, start the game and think the black fades and then lights up and then like the swooping shot of Corinthians Arena and the Eagles and the Packers and it's Friday night football. None of that's in there.
Nope.
Nope.
Nothing.
Nada. Just welcome to Lincoln File of Philadelphia.
They have Meryl Reese doing the intro too.
What are we doing here?
Yeah, we got Bone, man. I want my $70 back.
If there's a way for EA Sports to let you down yet again, they will find a way.
That's got to be a DLC. They gotta put a DLC out there. With Corinthians Arena in there.
Yeah, and by the time they do it, that game will be done and over. They'll probably put it out in November. Now available. Corinthians Arena. Remember that game from 2 months ago? Download it now.
Isn't it awesome? Y'all paid for it on Peacock, so you could be able to watch it too.
Yeah, good times, good times. All right, enough of my belly aching. Billy, appreciate it, as always. More of a therapy session than anything else.
So
always appreciate you. We'll be back next week after the Packers wrap up their preseason, and then... hey, we are slated right now to be chatting Tuesday afternoon, which I think is going to be really interesting because that's, we get some cuts in the air. We're going to get some news in that time frame. So we'll have a lot to chew on, I believe, next week.
Yeah, it's one of the worst days in the NFL calendar, but one of the best to be able to dissect, talk about, and then finally have the meal in front of us for the final. For the entirety of the season.
Absolutely.
Or by that, we mean until like 2 days after.
And
like,
sign a couple guys and
someone else. But yeah. We'll get the
exciting times.
That is the team. The
initial 53-man roster. Yes. Going to be good times. Billy, thanks as always. I'll talk to you next week, man.
Appreciate it, man. It's always fun.